Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
And welcome to Crypto Nights podcast. I'm Kant and I'm so excited to welcome you. I've been reading up about you and your project on Traxxion, and we cannot wait to have this episode with you. Very excited.
Thank you, Kant, for inviting me over to your Crypto Night podcast. I'm so excited and thrilled also to share about what we've been doing from the other side of the world, because you're in London and I'm in Manila.
Yes. Yeah, I'm here in Dallas in the US and you're in Manila in the Philippines. You're literally on the other side of the world and very, very excited. So why don't we start off with a little bit of about the background about you. And so what is your background and what brought you to this current point in time?
I've been in IT or information technology for more than 20 years. I'm a mathematics degree graduate with a major in computer science. I've been exposed in banking, payments, and e-commerce. For the last 4 years, I've separated in from corporate world and started my own fintech startups. I dealt with in the real world and most problematic startup as a startup entrepreneur.
Absolutely. I totally relate to that. Entrepreneurship is not easy, especially fintech and all of that. Mm-hmm. So, tell me about what is the backstory behind Traxxion? How did you dream up about the vision behind Traxxion, and how did you come up with that, and what are your goals?
Yeah, so just like any tech entrepreneur, we saw how blockchain is going to change all areas of business and even personal lives. In the late 90s, people were saying the internet is going to change the world, and now everyone's saying blockchain would be doing the same thing, and we totally agree with that. And we see this opportunity as, you know, total breakthrough for most business solutions that can fill the gap, especially on the fintech side, on the banking side, where we would like to fill the gap for the unbanked and underbanked.
I see. Why did you pick that specific sector?
Because there's a huge population on the unbanked and underserved, where, you know, our solution sees this as an opportunity to benefit the growth of financial inclusion among the world's 1.7 billion unbanked people. So in a nutshell, just to say, Traxxion, our company seeks to promote greater financial inclusion among the world's unbanked by offering an easy, cheap, quick, reliable, and efficient one-stop shop for the financially included to perform all of its basic financial services.
Wow, you've put a lot of that.
By positioning this, we can be one of the key leaders in to push this for the greater financial inclusion globally.
Great. You talked about a lot of concepts in there. Let's deconstruct each one of them. First of all, why are you doing it in the Philippines?
Yeah, so of course, because we are here, we know the landscape, we know the culture, we know the people, and very well we could say that because this is a tough market, whatever we do here, we could, you know, easily replicate in other countries with the most number of unbanked also. And providing, there are so many challenges, there are so many hindrances and hurdles that we need to come across and we need to address here in the Philippines. And by doing so, we are strengthening the muscle of not just of the company, but also of the technology that we are using.
I see. So you're not only, you're there, that's number one. Number two is you see this problem of the unbanked or the underserved pretty high right there locally. So why not build a solution for the Philippines that you can then take global?
I'm sorry, come again? I didn't.
No, I'm just saying that the reasons behind the Philippines is that A, you are there, and B, mm-hmm. You have a lot of unbanked and underserved people right there with respect to banking services. So we could almost treat this as you're building a prototype for the Philippines, and once you prove that, you can take that global.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, wonderful. So, and how are you planning to do that? Huh? It sounds great, you know, and in India, we hear the terminology, it's slightly different, but it's a similar concept. We call it bottom of the pyramid. And talk about, you heard about Grameen Bank and mm-hmm. things like that from the Bangladesh and all of that. So how are you planning to bring the bank to the unbanked?
Okay, so we aim to adopt a universal, quote-unquote, universal banking model, which offers a suite of services aimed at appealing to the unbanked, who tend to have an array of financial needs, but may be deterred by the prospect of using several different platforms to perform different functions. So this universal banking model sets Traction apart from most other known traditional digital as well as blockchain-enabled players who tend to be specialists in one or two products. So we intend to utilize blockchain and Hyperledger Fabric technology, which tackles the key concerns associated with the incumbent financial services platforms, like the high transaction cost, operational inefficiencies, mistrust of the financial system, and lack of transparency.
Okay. And how does Hyperledger help you do that?
So with this, because we believe, especially in the financial sector, is a very highly regulated industry. Hyperledger Fabric, as you know, is a permissioned blockchain technology that allows for certain layers of data to just, or access to certain layers of data to relevant participants only, to have them have this on different layers, on different access.
And are you just using Hyperledger, or do you have a deep partnership with IBM of some sort?
Oh yeah, we've chosen to leverage our partnership with IBM as a former partner as well, because I've been in the banking sector for several years. I've close ties with IBM, and I have great respect with my previous partnership with them, and using the IBM platform, blockchain platform that's based on open source Hyperledger Fabric, we are hitting the market by providing, you know, different use cases for different industries using blockchain technology.
I see. Very interesting. So, and I'm sure you evaluated a lot of options and then you picked Hyperledger Fabric. So what made you decide on in favor of Hyperledger Fabric?
There are several series or several variants of Hyperledger, but we focused and we chose Fabric for its robust and more flexible framework, where you could tweak on the speed and be able to, you know, navigate on its infrastructure, thus further lowering the fees or the model, the business model that you can plan within your platform.
Right. Yeah. The reason I asked that question is you have Ethereum, you have EOS, you have IOTA. Depending upon the application, you have several platform alternatives, and so you decided to choose Hyperledger. So is that because you have a team that's familiar with that technology, or is it cost reasons, or is it enterprise trend robustness that you need? Or is it all of the above?
Rightfully put, it is all of the above. We have experts on board that has had this use case and has gone live with Hyperledger in one form or another, whether it is a small scale or a medium scale implementation locally. We've also have, you know, a very good support of IBM for this one. Aside from its framework, we are also leveraging on the enterprise blockchain solution, where we would like to have more businesses to be on our network rather than to have like silos of clients.
Okay. So how does this, and so now let's connect Hyperledger to the problem you're trying to solve. The problem you're trying to solve is provide banking services for the unbanked, the unserved, or the underserved. I get that. So there is a fundamental thesis there. We are trying to say that somebody may have a smartphone but may not have a bank account, for example. So these are people that are not using a bank account, but they have access to a smartphone. What is the minimal requirement? I don't think you are able to address the needs of everybody who is unbanked, unserved or underserved, but you have a segment of those that you're trying to address. Is that correct, Anne?
Oh yeah. So we in the Philippines, 8 out of 10 families have no bank account. So, and there are even areas where we would like to, you know, implement this solution where there is very poor data connectivity and only feature phones or SMS connectivity works. So the target market don't need to have smartphones. Any feature phone can work and can be utilized for this solution.
Okay. So if 8 out of 10 do not have the bank account, but out of those 8, how many of them have some kind of a feature phone and therefore can access your services?
Yeah, at least 50% or more from the population or the unbanked that we are serving. And they don't, since I've mentioned, they don't need to have a smartphone. We've designed the system to work through an existing network that allows these stores to sell mobile phone top-ups. So essentially, they can transfer money, take out cash, buy insurance or pay bills, do everything they could to do with a bank, with a normal bank, through SMS messages. So they don't even need to own a phone. The store owner can do it for them.
Okay. So can you walk us through that part of the design? So let us say Joe comes in to the store, to the mobile store, and buys a feature phone. And now what is the next few steps he has to do with to connect himself with Traction and then use Traction to pay the various bills that you talked about? Can you walk us through that use case?
Yeah. So to illustrate the whole picture, one of the main reasons why we are doing our first use case in the Philippines, because many times, many people, they are days away from the nearest bank branch, right? So one of our first goals is to turn the 600,000 sari-sari stores or sundry variety stores or corner stores, if you say so, that across the Philippines into a virtual bank branch. So it's tapping the last mile. It's providing them this money in, money out to small stores that are within reach to essentially provide them access to bank services through blockchain technology.
Right. So help me understand that. So I'm an average Joe. I have bought a feature phone from one of the nearby stores and I never heard about Traction. So tell me about how do I get to know about you and how do I connect with Traction and how do I use that to pay my bills?
Okay. They don't even need to know they are using cryptocurrency or they're using blockchain. So all their transactions are tokenized,
yes.
Right? So it becomes a digital asset that you move within the blockchain, and they still get their money in fiat form. But as they mature in terms of awareness about blockchain, then we can move them to a cryptocurrency where they can now, you know, choose which ones to use, their fiat or the cryptocurrency or the tokens that are loaded on their phone. So in the meantime, during the first inception, they don't need to know that they are using cryptocurrency, they're using tokens or their transactions are being tokenized.
Okay. So I got the phone. I don't need to know that I'm using cryptocurrency and I want to pay this bill of 100 pesos. So what do I do? How do I pay that? What should I do to pay that?
So you go to your nearest small store, right? That accepts or has this facility. So first and foremost, like if we are providing first a closed loop solution or e-wallet for certain industries or for certain businesses. So for example, a farmer who would need to, you know, cash in his salary from the producer from the owner of the land, he would need to go to their center to load up their card, whether it is a physical card from a top up or his phone. So he gets his load, he goes to another OTC or over the counter to cash it in, or use the same balance that he has on the phone or in his card to pay for other merchandise or pay utility bill. So in that form, the cash don't need to get out of the system or the tokens don't need to get out of the system. He'll be able to utilize that within his ecosystem that we provide for him with the partnership or with the cooperation of the client or the B2B engagement that we have.
That's the point I was trying to get to. So you are building a network of business partners like utility companies, or I don't know, are you also going to have banks as your partners?
Yeah, definitely.
So you have banks, you have utility companies and many other companies that typically people would send money to. And you're going to include them as a part of your network, and you're going to integrate your technology with theirs, I'm presuming, to enable these transactions. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, you are correct, Ken.
Okay, wonderful. So that helps me understand the underlying technology. So can you now explain the design of your token and your how does your token economy look, and what kind is this some kind of a utility token, I'm imagining? Is that true?
Yes, it is a utility token. So it all starts with remittances. The Philippines as the third largest inbound remittance market in the world, with almost $33 billion flowing into the country last year. And the system is rife with corruption, and fees are extremely high, so at least 8%. So we can lower that to 1 or 2%. This remittance money will fuel the token economy initially, letting people store their money safely rather than getting it stolen, and use other services that will make their lives better. So because we are providing six basic features or six basic financial transactions. I mentioned remittance, right, as a starting point for the token economy that we are creating for them. Yeah. Second would be for payments of utility bills, payment of merchandise and whatever.
Okay.
Third would be for access to the insurance, okay, life insurance or health insurance.
Okay.
Fourth would be access to investment. All fifth, right, would be access to donations, charity, and whatnot. Okay. And the sixth would be access to lending, whether it is peer-to-peer or from a microfinance point of view.
Got it. Wow. So you have a feature-rich offering. So, and your token is going to support all six of these. And are any of these already built out? Is your blockchain already live? Have you tested it? What is the data that you have to prove to you that your token design and economy is going to work?
Yeah, okay. So we are not building things from scratch. Though the blockchain, of course, is from scratch. The blockchain core solution is from scratch. The access to financial products that I've mentioned are already out in the market. They have traction. They have actual users. They have actual revenues. And we are just currently moving them into the blockchain platform. So we have Parasure.com, the personal finance. We have Bayani Health for the healthcare. We have Assurance for the non-life. So they have access to non-life insurance. We have GavaGives for the donations space. We have Traction Pay for the online and offline payment, and the JPTex for the remittance.
So what I'm trying to figure out here, Anne, is once you roll out Traction and the token, what is the guarantee that people will use it? So do you have any proof of concept? Do you have some kind of, in US, there is a tendency to call these kinds of things as MVP, minimal viable product, or product market fit. So what kind of prototypes and proof of concepts have you built out and tested? Do you have any data that tells us that A, people will understand this, B, people will use it, they're happy and they will share it with others? Can you share some of that information with us?
Yeah. So we are working with three use cases right now. So in three different industries. First would be for the Filipino workers, overseas Filipino workers, which is with a certain cooperative who would be onboarding up to 1 million of their members. So it's an e-wallet, of course, that will enable them to remit their salaries to their loved ones back here in the Philippines. Again, they don't need to know that they're on blockchain or they're using cryptocurrency because we are just tokenizing their transaction. But they need to purchase certain amount of tokens to be member of this cooperative. And they need to hold this for a number of months or years to have access, premium access to those financial products that I've mentioned. And at the same time, benefit from these discounts that we provide. So this is something that we will be on beta in the coming month or so. And this is sort of will become the core product of Traxxion, where we could also provide a white label solution opportunity for other businesses who would need electronic wallet with these several features I mentioned.
Yeah. So, and how long have you been doing this testing?
For several months right now, half a year, less than half a year.
Okay. And the other question I had is, how are you funded currently? Who is funding you?
So with the first six startups, because we had revenue of about $3 million for the last 3 years. And we started, building several features on top of them. And also because we're doing a token offering, we've closed several millions of dollars for our from our private sale. And that's the reason why the team is constantly growing, and there are lots of market opportunities being open to us, also through the partnership with IBM, plus other opportunities that has just been built because of certain relationships with other businesses and our media mileage.
So you've been very thorough in this, Anne. So you've been on your own. You exited the financial services where you were an employee, and to be an entrepreneur of your own in the same space for a few years. So you're not new to the entrepreneurial field. And it looks like on top of that, you have understood the problem. You have built a team around that. You have been, you're also pretty savvy to have developed a profitable business in the past. And now you're kind of trying to bring all of that to bear to solve this new set of use cases that you have come up with for the unbanked, unserved, underserved type of population. And then you have thought through over the last 6 months and market tested three use cases and done a private sale where you have raised several million dollars. And currently your ICO is in what? Pre-sale, would you say?
Yeah. We are on pre-sale and probably 30 million supply until we open the main sale.
Is the 30 million the number of tokens that you're going to be selling, or is that the dollar?
No, it is 50 million. For the pre-sale, it's 50 million tokens.
Okay.
And for the main sale, it's 200 million tokens.
Okay. And what is the price of each token?
0.00035, three zeros and 35 Ether.
Okay, and what does it translate to in today's dollar price, approximately?
Today's Ether is less than 500, I suppose.
Let's assume 500 just to make the math simple.
Okay, so it'll be like 15 cents, 16 cents.
Okay, so the pre-sale price is 15 cents. And what about the main sale? How much is that going to be?
Yeah, it is the same. It's just that we provide bonuses during the pre-sale. So we've started with 50% bonus down to 40 every 10 million supply tier. And now we're on the third tier, which is 30% bonus.
Okay. Are you at liberty to share the numbers? How much have you already raised in terms of US dollars?
We have raised almost $4 million.
And what is your hard cap?
$45 million.
And what's your soft cap?
$10 million.
Oh, you're sailing pretty safely into that soft cap.
Yeah. With all the pledges, we're safe. We're pretty safe.
I like that. Well, you deserve to be, given the amount of work that has gone in. The idea that is, it has a blend of social cause as well as being a business. So are you running this as a non-profit organization, or is it a for-profit business?
Going back, one statement that you mentioned, the advocacy and for the social causes. If you could, if you observe and notice the six startups that I've mentioned, they're all backed by certain advocacy, which is to really provide for the healthcare. It is to provide affordable healthcare for small businesses who cannot afford the regular premiums of the bigger businesses, right? So my first baby or startup, which is GavaGives.com. It's a leading charity crowdfunding platform here in the Philippines that addresses, the low giving index in the Philippines. We have a very low giving index because of the accessibility to online giving, where there's only 3 to 5% credit card users. And when we open the offline payment options, we allow more people to be in the network, to be in the circle of generosity. So, and many other startups, they're all backed by certain advocacy, and that's to alleviate, you know, poverty and, you know, uplift the lives of the many and not just of the...
And all those six features you mentioned, each one of them is a startup, separate startup?
Separate startups, but under Traction Hub.
I see. And they were all launched by you and your team?
Yeah, here in Manila.
That's pretty amazing. And how long have you taken to bring all of them to life?
3 to 4 years. Average is 3 years. The only one that would be in its fourth year now.
Okay. So this is all extremely impressive. And because I was, like I said, I was talking to Eric, and somebody who I respect a lot. And he was telling about the amazing work that you've been doing. Yeah, I knew I had to dig deep into this too. Traction, it's almost unfair to call Traction itself as, it's not one of those white paper and I want to raise money type of an idea. This is, in all fairness, has been a startup in the making for 4 to 5 years. It has been revenue generating. You have created multiple startups under the Traction Hub. So you've been laying the groundwork and setting the stage for the launch of this Traction token for 4 years. Is that a fair statement?
It is half fair.
Okay.
We didn't also see it until the middle of last year that we would be, you know, diving into this technology. It, you know, probably destiny and all of these circumstances brought us here. It's just because all of these six startups shared the same advocacy and they all fit together to be a one-stop solution for the unbanked and provide these financial products as an access or a gateway for them to have access to this bank products at the very least.
Fortune favors the brave, huh? So that's wonderful. So that's phenomenal. So what I'm hearing is amazing. So let's put on my American capitalist hat and ask you an investor type of a question. Right. Mm-hmm. So why would it be worth it for somebody like me? First of all, is your ICO open to American investors?
Oh, no,
it is not.
It's not.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now let me shift let's say I'm in some other country.
I hope you're not American so you can invest.
let's pretend I'm in Singapore, for example. Let's pretend I'm a Singaporean citizen and I'm in Singapore and I'm allowed to invest in your ICO.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I invest in your ICO? What are the potential... Now, you may or may not be able to numerically to the details, I understand that, but I want you to, from an investor angle, why should I get excited about Traction?
Would you want me to discuss the potential value of the token?
Whatever you have done as an analysis, I mean, you, at the end of the day, you know more about this company and its future than anybody else. So, and the fact that you are confident enough, I mean, I've been an entrepreneur, so that's why I'm saying this. So we entrepreneurs like to take money from others, at least the ones that have integrity. Only when we feel pretty confident that we can give them some kind of a positive return. And given all the work you have done and the people that have told me about you, I know that for a fact, that you have the integrity and all of the other things that are required to be a good entrepreneur. So therefore, I'm asking you the question, what is your analysis? Why should someone from a country that's allowed, like Singapore, invest into Traction?
Yeah. So first, I'll give two types of answers. First is, as to why you would support the Traction and Traction team. And then the second would be on the economy and the economics of this token. Why would the value of the Traction token will be higher in the next few years or so? So first would be to answer the question, why support us? First, because of the team that we have. We have relevant skills. We are not some, you know, fresh college graduates. I hope we look like one, but we're not. We have relevant skills. We do focus and on the financial industry. most of the key members are very seasoned, 20 plus years in the industry of banking, finance, e-commerce, payments, and so forth. We are not like a media company trying to do agriculture or vice versa. We are all in the fintech space. And second is because the product that we, the space that we've chosen is something that's, the market is huge, and we are the choice of blockchain technology or the platform is very much relevant and very much apparent with the current framework of our industry, which is very much regulated right now. We, of course, we all want to be in the decentralized format, but it is not practical. It's not going to happen the next day, the next morning, the next year or five. So we work with a permission blockchain, which allows for businesses to still have, you know, be frictionless with the banks and regulators, and at the same time still possess that kind of level of data integrity in the solution that they implement. With regards to, aside from that, of course, we internationally market validation in terms of ratings and reviews internationally. We are proud to say that, you know, in Asia at the very least, or in the Philippines, we've garnered the highest ratings in the most, you know, rating sites available or popular in the market. For the token economics, for a lot of underbank participants running on our Traction blockchain, the reason why or what would influence the value of our Traction token is that to avail of the lower remittance fees or the discounts that we provide, they need to hold certain amount of token. So we are using staking method for that matter. We provide low transaction fees and payments, healthcare coverage, and loans, and they use tokens to pay suppliers and their employees. So with this kind of staking and the higher or the powerful utility, the use case of tokens inside their platform, inside their ecosystem, you are forcing people to hold more tokens, people to avail of this access by enforcing that staking method. So hence, Traction tokens is definitely not a speculative cryptocurrency, but for real practical reasons, real practical utility. We also use diminishing supply method. So as you know, people pay and transact in our platform, we burn fraction of this fee, so the supply of the tokens are decreased, but the demand is still in force.
What percentage of your transactional profits are you using for repurchasing and burning tokens?
What percentage of them again?
I thought I heard you say that you're using a certain portion of your transactional revenues in order to repurchase tokens and then burn them. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah. So we're using 70-30 method for this. So we're burning 30% of the fees or the revenue that we take as a form of rebate. So a significant number of tokens will be held to access benefits, right? And these specific token holders will not sell their tokens. And as they use it, the fees and the transaction that flows within the system will be burned along the way.
I see.
So in terms of numbers, we estimate that 10.8% of tokens will not be sold by 2019, and up until 2023, where we'll be estimating 75.3% will not be traded by year 2023.
So you'll be down in supply to 25% approximately of what you're releasing right now?
Yeah. In 5 years or so.
Well, right there is a quadrupling potentially of value, in addition to many other factors that you're talking about. Two things, I think, what you're trying to express, Anne, is on one hand, by the sheer reduction of supply, you're looking at potentially quadrupling of value. And on top of that, over the next 4 or 5 years, you have a greatly increased demand, which could be, I don't know, 5 to 10x of what you're starting off with as you expand your operations in Philippines and beyond. So increased demand, reduced supply. So simple strategy, but pretty effective. Awesome. I think we covered a lot of ground, and in the interest of time, I wanted to ask you, are there questions you wanted me to ask that I did not ask? Are there other points you wanted to make to our listeners about traction?
So far, none that I can think of. I think we've covered enough for them to understand what we are trying to do over here. And on to the next 10 countries. We are not stopping from where we are right now. This is just the beginning. We're currently talking to different principals in different countries as well. At least 3 countries have, you know, expressed their interest to do white labeling with us. And yeah, I think what we have not talked about are some real use cases, but never mind. It was part of our discussion anyway when we talked about the first MVP user of Traction.
Exactly. So listeners, head over to www.traction.tech, traxion.tech. That's traction.tech. And you'll see an ongoing pre-sale that you can participate in. Again, we are not financial advisors. We are neither supporting nor otherwise. We're just disseminating information through Crypto Nights. And we are very thankful to you, Anne, for joining us today and sharing some awesome information. And we wish you the very best as you progress with your ICO.
No, my thanks to you, Kant. This is a pleasure, and this is a very good opportunity that you have granted us. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. And all of you listeners, if you enjoyed this, please share it with your friends that may be interested in this. And also head over to iTunes and Google Play. And remember to rate us 5 stars. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Nights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.